Amen. Thank you, Becky and Grace, for the short notice filling in. We appreciate that so very much. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Children Church is going out there to the side door if you need to leave out children. Also, John chapter 11. If you need a Bible, our ushers come around with a Bible available to you for that. John chapter 11, page 1130. Page 1130. If you need it, John chapter number 11 is where we're going to be this morning, looking at Mary and Martha. A familiar passage to many. John chapter 11, but bring some words to encouragement to you this morning. And simply entitled the message this morning is, Don't Lose Jesus When You Experience Loss. Don't lose Jesus when you experience loss. And we see that in the life of Mary and Martha, very real way there. And today I want us to look at that losses test our faith. Losses test our faith. And it brings us in a hard place sometimes and brings either the Lord closer to us or draws us farther away from the Lord in that situation. And what is our response going to be? So John chapter number 11, if you have it, would you please stand together as we read verses 1 through 3. We'll pray and then we'll start this morning. John chapter 11, look at verses 1 through 3 to get us some context here. It says, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you again for the opportunity to come before you in prayer this morning. I pray that you would bless our time in your word. I pray that you would give me strength, Lord, give me clarity of mind and thought. I pray that you would be glorified this morning with what is said and done in this place. I pray that you encourage our hearts, Lord, as many are sick, many are feeling loss of loved ones, of hardships, of different things in their life, or circumstances are weighing down. I pray that you give us encouragement. I pray that we would look to you for the strength that we need to face tomorrow. I pray that we would gain encouragement from Mary and Martha, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life, and we believe this. And I pray that you would again encourage us, speak with Pastor again as he's away, recovering. Pray that you meet the needs that we have today and in this moment, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How's 2023 treating you? You may be seated, sorry. 2023 treating you? It's been kind of rough. A lot of things have been going on. As we still look around us this morning, a lot of people are sick, feeling the different flu symptoms and stuff in our families. And it's been a little difficult year for me as well. A few weeks ago, my grandfather passed away. And then about a week later, a good friend of mine from college passed away unexpectedly as well. So just within a week or so, they both passed away down in Florida, my grandfather in Georgia. And back when I was in college, I met him and we had a good friendship. And he was almost 30 years old, so he was a very young man. He was just married for 3 weeks. So if you think of the Bryant family, pray for the Bryant family. They lost their father a few years ago. Suddenly, and then I lost a son as well, and a new husband. So pray for them. A lot's going on. But this morning, I want to look at that when trials and hardships come, to not lose our faith, to not lose our love for the Lord. Don't lose Jesus when you experience loss. We learn a great deal about ourselves through losses of any kind, but sudden losses are particularly trying and very disorienting. Our Savior understands on the deepest level possible, and he is the only one that can help us to cope with our conflict, emotions about sickness and death, trials, circumstances in our life, whatever may come forward. Jesus is the one who truly understands. If you will, go to Mark chapter 14. You keep your place there in John chapter 11. We'll get several places this morning, but John chapter 11, stay there. We go over to Mark chapter 14. Matthew 14, apologize. Matthew 14, page 1018, if you need it. I'll meet you there in just a little bit, but I want to bring a little context before that Jesus truly knows our trials. He knows our suffering. He knows the hardships we're going through, whatever that may be. Isaiah 53, verse 3 says that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The sorrows there is anguish, is affliction, and grief is malignity, sorrow is disease or ailment. And not that Jesus had diseases or ailments or sin, but he was acquainted with the people. He was about the compassion, us. sinners. Jesus walked among us, and he was acquainted with all the griefs we face, all the hardships, all the affliction, all the ailments, and no doubt he had his own as he went to the cross for our sin. But verse 4 continues, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So Jesus is aware, he knows of the sorrows, the grief that we face. Luke chapter 1, verse 36 talks about a family member that Jesus had, which would be John the Baptist. Oh, we look at this around Christmas time, but Luke 1, verse 36 talks about Elizabeth and Mary. The angel Gabriel tells Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is with child in her old age. So we see a family connection to John and Elizabeth and Zacharias there. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus spoke very highly of John the Baptist. Of course, there was a family connection, but there was also a spiritual connection. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10 and 11 says, for this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not one risen greater than John the Baptist. Jesus loved John the Baptist. He had that connection, family, physically in that way, and also spiritual. He was coming before him as the Messiah to prepare the way as it was ordained from time past. A great moment in history here. And you're in Matthew chapter 14 now. And to know that context helps me, and I hope it helps you to realize that Jesus knows our sorrows. He knows what we go through. He understands. Matthew 14, verse 10 says, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. It went and told Jesus. So this is John the Baptist. He died for his faith here and going against the king. And his disciples go and tell Jesus, hey, John is dead. And we can learn a lot about a person when they go through hardships. When they face things that are difficult, how do they handle that? What is going on? Now, we can't see the inside of the heart. We'll see that with Mary and Martha. It's a very different situation, and they act differently than we would think they would act. We can't see what's going on the inside here, but Jesus shows us that it bothers him. It moves him. He understands. Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When he heard the news that John the Baptist has died, that connection, the spiritual connection, that physical connection of family, he goes away to be alone, to get some time away, to get his thoughts together. In the physical sense there, he is a man. He sorrows there. He has some time apart, but it doesn't last long. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And even though Jesus was going through something personally at this moment in his life, the loss of a companion, a great man, a great prophet that would go before him to prepare the way, a distant family member, Jesus takes time to put that aside and meet the needs of others. What love and compassion that he had. And we'll finish off here with verses 15 and 16. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. So Jesus hears the news. He goes out in the morning. He goes out to be alone, to meet with the Father, to get some strength, encouragement. He sees the people there, and he puts that aside and meets their needs with the compassion that he has. He's been teaching them all day. And the disciples say, send them away. And Jesus says, no, we're going to stay longer and still meet their needs physically as well. So Jesus understands what we're going through. Hebrews 4:14 will tell us, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The word hold fast here is to use strength to retain. Retain that trust, retain that faith in the Lord. The profession, there's an acknowledgement that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is our Savior. We see Martha says that later in verse 27 in John 11. We'll look at that later. But she says, I believe thou art the Christ. She has that confidence. So when we see things come about us, to remember, to hold fast, to retain. Don't let it go. Our belief, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let that slip away. That's so tempting to do that when trials come and hit us, when hardships come, that we back away from the Lord sometimes. We let that slip, that faith, that confidence, that trust, and we begin to quiver at times, but don't. Verse 14 would tell us to hold fast, to retain it. Mark 9, 23 and 24 gives us this. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's one passage that's really close to my heart in Mark. And Jesus does a miracle with a father and a son here. And he tells the father to believe. And the father cries out, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. At times, we believe the Lord. We trust. We know who he is. We're confident that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. But at times, when in the circumstances, that faith begins to diminish. We begin to lose hope in a sense there. Lord, strengthen us. Help us to come closer to you, to draw closer to you in those times of needs. I'm going to finish off these verses here in Hebrews chapter 4. It tells us to hold fast because we know Jesus Christ is a high priest. Verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The word touched with the feeling is a fellow feeling, a mutual compassion, a sympathy. We see Jesus demonstrated that as he went on to feed 5,000 in that passage after having such a personal loss in his own life. Verse 16 would end out this passage and say, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Knowing that Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we have this high priest that has gone through sorrows and acquainted with grief, that we can come to him and know that he understands and cares. The hymn says, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. The fact is we all face losses. Our reactions and responses will vary. But don't ever think that you don't have one that cares. A friend, a family member may let us down, may not be there in the moment that we need, but Jesus never fails. Jesus is there. He understands, and he knows. And I think we probably could end there and say the Lord has really blessed. But we're going to continue on, stay with me this morning, and I'll look at five points. I want to look at 5 points this morning about Mary and Martha as we come together thinking not to lose Jesus when we go through loss, when we go through hardships, when we go through times of trying in our life. Number one, if you go back to John chapter 11 now, John chapter 11, we'll go back there. Jesus was called. Jesus was called, verses 3 through 5. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We see that Jesus was called. Now, this is unique. We could just look over this, but it's important to note that both sisters called for Jesus. We would think that, of course, Mary would call for Jesus, but Martha, we have a famous passage in Luke chapter 10. If you'll turn there, Luke chapter 10, on page 1089, if you need it. Luke chapter 10, we'll look at verse 38. Very familiar passage of Martha where she's cumbered about much serving and business, but Mary is right there at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. And we would think that, of course, Mary would call Jesus, but not so Martha, but both sisters call out to Jesus. They both loved him. They knew he cared. They knew that he was the great physician. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38, it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? bid her therefore that she help me. So we see Martha, no doubt she has a lot going on. She's still very anxious here. It seems to be this is her house. She has Jesus and the apostles coming to her house, other disciples probably. She has a lot going on. She's trying to take care of, make a good impression, try to meet all the needs she has. And she is moving back and forth. And she realizes it's just too much for her. She can't do it. She needs to get her sister to come and help her as well. So she goes, it bothers her so much that she goes to Jesus about this. And we see verse number 40, being cumbered is to drag all around, to distract with care. So we see the contrast that Mary is at the feet of Jesus, but a contrast, Martha is up serving. She's doing all these different things. She is doing so much that she's distracted with care. So it's not necessarily a bad thing she's doing. She is trying to take care of her guests. She's trying to be a hospitable host. But this good has distracted her from what is best in the situation. Verse 41 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." The word here, Martha, Martha, is an expression of great intimacy, of friendship. He is just talking right to her with a compassionate heart and trying to relay an important message to her. He says that you're careful, and that is taking too much concern or thought. Again, she was so much going on. She was doing a good thing, but there's so much going on in her heart, in her mind right now. And he says, you're troubled. You're troubled. That's a tumult. As many concerning thoughts are causing her to not see properly and think correctly. We may use the word today, a panic attack. She has so much going on right now. She is trying to do that which is good. And she is, it really means that her mind is clouded. She can't see properly right now. She is doing her best to be accommodating to everyone. And she's, in a sense, shutting down. I need Mary's help. I need her help. We got to get this accomplished. We got to do this right now. And missing the fact that Jesus is right over there in the next room. And Jesus says, you're troubled about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is needful. There's one thing. Mary, you're covered about many things. But there's one thing right now that is needful, which is demanding, requirement, which is necessary. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall be not taken away from her. So we see the contrast. There's many things, and there's one thing. And Mary has chosen to do that thing, which is to be at Jesus' feet. The good part is a beneficial participation or portion. So Martha was doing a good portion of participation, but it was not as important as sitting at the feet of Jesus in that moment. And we don't have the rest of the story. You know, I wonder how Martha took that. And there's just times that we need Jesus to say, peace be still, to our hearts, to our minds. And that's what's happened with Martha. I mean, ladies, you've probably been there. Guys, maybe you've been there at times. There's just so much. I just kind of shut down. I don't even know what to do, how to act, where to go. It's just too much at this moment. That's how Martha is. And Jesus is saying, there's one thing, bring it back down to one thing that's important right now. And she's chosen that good thing. And you're welcome to come as well. And there's different ways you could take that. Many of us have a servant's heart. And again, Martha was doing a wonderful thing. And I think Jesus was rebuking her a little in a gentle way here, that Martha, there's important things right now. And what you're doing is a great thing, but the greater thing right now is to peace be still. Come and listen. Sit at the feet of Jesus. We see that Martha is not weak in faith in our passage back here in John chapter 11. We would think this is the most famous passage there, that Martha is not considering spiritual things. She's busy right now taking care of physical needs. But that's not true. Martha is very deep spiritually as well, and we don't give her as much credit, I think, as we should. And we see in this passage here that they both call for Jesus. Lazarus was beyond the doctor's help at this point. They've gone so far that he is at death's door. They send directly for Jesus, knowing that he is the only one now that could work a miracle. He has that ability. Their faith in his power and for his love is great in this passage here. So we see that they call Jesus, and the Lord should be our first call. When we rely too heavily on people, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. And it's wonderful to have people we can rely upon. It's wonderful to have people to embrace us and help us. We'll see that at the end of the message here, that Jesus does that. But our focus should be on the Lord as our first call. Psalm 42, verse 8 says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Psalm 145, 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." And the truth of the matter is the Lord is there with us and for us 24/7. There's times at night and situations where we can't have that person that we depend so much upon with us all the time. But the Lord is there, and our focus should be on him. I think of Gavin. You know, sometimes I'm out here on the playground at school, and there's a lot of kids playing around, and he's out there playing with them for a little bit, and he inevitably falls and gets hurt or something. And maybe it's more than just a scratch, something. He gets hit in the head or something. And, you know, I could see him in the moment. I'm watching him. He stands up, and he's in a panic, and he's crying. And what is he doing? Even though he's surrounded by friends, by family, sisters, he's looking for dad or mom. I have to get to them to help me. And that's what it is with Jesus. Is our first response, "I got to get to the Lord"? Or is it, "I need to call the doctor, I need to call so-and-so"? Or help. And again, those are wonderful things. A support system is very needful. But in that moment, as I watch my child, that immediately, even though he has all that support around him, he wants to come to me or mom, to come to them. And same thing with us. Are we coming right to the Lord? The closer we are to God before a traumatic event, the more likely it will be that we will run to him in deep grief and need of comfort. So we see, first off, that Jesus was called. We see, secondly, that Jesus stalled. Jesus was called, but then Jesus was stalled. Verse 6 says, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Mary and Martha were running out of time. They needed Jesus now. They needed help right now. In a sense, they were in the waiting room, as so many of you have been in times past, and just waiting for good news, waiting for a diagnosis, something to help. You're sitting there waiting in that limbo state, and here Mary and Martha are waiting. They have sent for the Lord, and they're waiting for a response. You know, we have the privilege to see the end of the story. We have the whole passage here to see that there's a purpose and a plan, and Jesus had all this laid out, and it was all going to be okay. But in this moment, Mary and Martha did not know that. They didn't see that. They didn't have that, the full story as we do. And Jesus had a reason for not rushing into the scene. And we have to remember that everything that God does has a timing that makes sense to him, but it may not make sense to us. So we have this passage that he learns that Lazarus is on the brink of death, but yet he waits more days. The urgency, the need there, but he waits for a reason. And we only see a little section of it, but God sees the big picture. And we have to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves in that. I think of putting puzzles together. Cherish likes to put puzzles together. And, you know, when I put a puzzle together, I need to have the box right in front of me. You know, I'm looking at the full picture as I help. And, you know, life is not like that. God has the box. He has the full picture. He knows it all. But we just have the pieces one at a time. And as we put them together, the picture becomes more clear, becomes more full. As step by step, day by day, we depend upon the Lord. We put one more piece in place, one more piece in place, one more piece in place. We begin to see the big picture. And trust that God knows the story from the beginning to the ending. There are many abrupt changes in life, and sometimes they may not be easy to absorb. We may be tempted to think, "Lord, why did you allow this to happen?" We must remember that the changes in our life never surprise God. And I knew my grandfather was sick for some time, and he was on the brink of getting better or worse. And getting that news that he was declining in health wasn't a good call, but it wasn't as shocking as hearing about my friend in college that he's 29 years old, just all of a sudden his heart had problems, and a few hours later he died. That was so just drastic, so sudden, I couldn't believe it. And through both losses, the Lord knows the beginning and the ending. He knows why. He knows why this has taken place. And we must trust in him. So we see that Jesus was called, that he was stalled. But thirdly, we see here that Jesus was charged. Jesus was charged, verses 21 through 22. We have a lot of passage here where Jesus discusses and discourse between the disciples and Jesus here. But they make their way to Bethany. They get to where Mary and Martha are here. And we'll go to verses 21. It says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." And we see also verse 32. It says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." In a sense, they're charging Jesus, "Lord, if you were here, this would not have happened. This was not to take place." And we see that our faith is put on trial sometimes in our crisis. The confidence that we have in God is tested, that his way is best. They say to Jesus, "If you were here, he had not died." But is that really true? Is that true? That will be their desire, that Jesus would heal their brother. But also Jesus had a reason for not healing their brother. Even in the passage to the disciples, he says, "But I'm glad for your sakes that I am not there." And as I read that passage, I wonder if he would have been there, he would tell Mary and Martha, "No, I'm not going to heal him this time, at this moment." And then later, of course, he raises him from the dead, and they see the picture, the glory of God, all those wonderful things there. But this moment, they're imposing their will upon Jesus. "If you had been here, you would have done what I willed, what I wished to have happened." And that's not always the case. And that's hard to swallow sometimes, that our hope and our confidence is in the Lord, but he does that which is best and what is best for us and those involved. We want our loved ones to be healed. We want the situation better. We want things changed. But sometimes God does things that were not in our plans. It is normal to go through a season of downheartedness, as Mary and Martha are going through here. So read you some verses. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of his countenance." The word cast down is in to sink, again, into depression. Disquieted is an uproar, tumultuous, as Martha was feeling earlier. But the hope is the trust, is to wait on the Lord. And this verse is mentioned three times very close together, Psalm 42, verse 5 and 11, and chapter 43, verse 5. David says, "Why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down? Why are you depressed? Why is all this going on in your heart?" To wait, to trust in the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." My confidence, my trust is in the Lord, and I will wait on him. If our hope and our confidence are in the Lord, we will trust him as he works in his ways. We will always need the Lord and his grace, but our needs is more evident during times of grief. So we see that Jesus was called, he was stalled, he was charged, but we also see that not only was he charged, but he was credited. And we see the spiritual death of Martha in this passage here in verses 22 through 27. It says, "But now, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." We see this hope of this resurrection, this depth of Martha's spiritualness. We wouldn't see that from the earlier passage. She's come about many things. She's not sitting at the feet of Jesus. We would think that she is, in a sense, spiritually shallow. But she uncovers a very deep truth and discusses that with Jesus of the resurrection, that he will rise again, of knowing that Jesus is the Messiah. And these deep thoughts that she has with him, Jesus doesn't have these thoughts with Mary. This deep discourse is not with Mary, but it is with Martha. She says that thou art the Christ. You are the one that we have been waiting for. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16 through 20 is a great passage. We read this a lot at funerals. I heard this at my grandfather's funeral a few weeks ago. But 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 16, says, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept." But the truth that, as Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is not only our help for right now, but for eternity. And Martha is alluding to that. I know he will rise again in the last day. I know there's more beyond this life that we see, Lord. And I'm comforted in that. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth. No one would come to the Father but by me. It is through Christ and Christ alone." We put it very simply this way in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14, "But if I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope," no confidence, no surety, nothing to hold on to retain, as we saw earlier. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." Jesus was credited, yes, or if you've been here, he had not died. But we see the spiritual death of Martha. "Lord, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. I trust in you. I hold to you. Whatever this life may bring right now, I know that I will be with you in the future." Those who trust, put their faith in Jesus Christ, believe on him, as John 3:16 says, will have everlasting life. We see, fifthly, this morning that Jesus was called, he was stalled, he was charged, and he was credited. And then lastly, Jesus comforted. Jesus comforted. There's a lot in this passage, there's a lot going on in the hearts and the minds as Jesus dealt with those individually in their special ways and their needs. We see the contrast of Mary and Martha. It seems as they would switch places here, that Martha now is very deep and somber with Christ, saying, "I have hope in you for the future resurrection. I trust in that." And we see Mary on the opposite now as totally in a ball of emotions, in a sense, falling at Jesus' feet, saying, "If you'd been here, had not died," and all the emotions coming out. And Mary, that we would not think, because Martha was cumbered earlier, and now the roles have switched. But Jesus was there to comfort. The death of Lazarus was more than Mary could bear, and her sorrow affected the others around her. Mary's pain became the troubling of Jesus' spirit. We see that in verse 33. It says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping," that is Mary. We see that verse 32. He's speaking of Mary now. Verse 33. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." He was troubled. He had that compassion, that deep sorrow affected him as he looked at those he loved and cared about. We saw earlier that he, verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus." He cared about them in a humanly way, in a physical way of a family of loving. He would resort there and stay there when he went through town. Also as their Savior, the depth of Christ's love for these individuals here. Mary's pain became the troubling of Jesus' spirit, causing him to weep along with everyone present. Both Mary and Martha were grieving, but their reactions were distinct. Again, Martha focused on the resurrection, but Mary was in anguish and broken heart. They responded to this loss in their own way. But yet they still trusted in the Lord. They loved their brother. It was different. So lastly here, as we see that Jesus comforted, that we need to have compassion as Jesus had compassion. I took a class a long time ago now, and it was about grieving, how to help people that are grieving, how to be there. Because one of those times that it's kind of awkward. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You want to be there and help, but you don't. You're scared you're going to say the wrong thing and what to do. They told us to avoid, you know, cliches. We often say, okay, they're in a better place now, and which is true. They're saved. They're in a better place. That is great, you know. But it doesn't necessarily hurt the hurting heart of the individual at that necessary moment. You know, heaven's getting sweeter all the time. Yeah, that is true. But that may not meet the need that person has at that moment because they're hurt. The emotions are raw at that moment. But we see Jesus, he come alongside of them. Job would give us a description here of ones we would hope not to be like. Job 16 and verse 1 says, "Then Job answered and said this to his friends, 'I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief.'" We will see in Romans, it tells us to rejoice with them that do rejoice and to weep with them that weep. Job says, if I was in your place, I would comfort you. I would do my best to assuage your grief, to make it diminish. Jesus here, we don't see that he says much, but he's present. He's there with them. And that teaches us that the silent hug is better than the misspoken word. We're going to say the wrong thing. So sometimes we avoid being there. And really what we need is just to be there, the presence, and not so focus on the words at that moment. We cannot feel what another person is feeling, but God can. We cannot see inside a person's heart, but God knows the very thoughts of our heart. And we see Christ's example that he was present. And not just in proximity, you know, he was there, but he was present with what was going on. He felt their grief. He felt their hardship. He felt their sorrow. He wept with them. We all have appointments with loss. That may be a loved one. That might be our time specifically. We see Mary and Martha here, how they came to grief. They had different ways of taking that grief, but we see the comfort that Jesus brings. So I bring comfort in this personally, that whatever the rest of the year may bring forth. So we see many are sick in our congregation. We have ones that have lost loved ones. Things have happened, taken place that are hard in our life. But to not lose faith in the Lord. We'll end with the verse that we began with. John 6, verse 40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Is he real and personal in your life? You're guaranteed to have eternal life if you've believed on the Son. And whatever this life may hold, we'll be with him in eternity. So I'll stand together as we close this morning. If you have your heads bowed, eyes closed, just want to give a few thoughts here as we take this time of introspection. Is Jesus the one that's called in your life? Have you reached out to him in times of hardship for salvation? Have you called out to the Lord? Have you believed on him? Are you trying to go about and fix it and make it better your own self, your own way? Are you upset? Are you bitter? Are you having hardship that Jesus seems to be stalling? He's not right here right now with the answer that I need, that I desire. Are you trusting that his way is best, even though it is hard at times? Lord, help thou my unbelief. Help me to trust in you, whatever it may be. Are you charging God, imposing your will upon him, as Mary Martha did? If you had been here, he had not died. Are you crediting Jesus? Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. You are the one that God sent, and I am trusting you, whatever may come in this life and for the life hereafter. And are you trusting in Jesus' comfort? Are you embracing him as he mourns with you, as he weeps with you, as he encourages you, and how are you promoting that to others? Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come before you this morning. Lord, there's much that's going on in our life. Lord, there's hardship, there's loss of loved ones, there's diagnosis of cancer, there's pain, there's hardships, there's sickness, there's uncertainties, or there's things that we cannot handle on our own. Lord, I pray that you would help us and encourage us, Lord, as we looked at Mary and Martha this morning, Lord, that they reacted differently, Lord, but they both called for you, they both sought you, Lord, and you were there to give compassion, to give hope. I pray that we would do the same for those around us. I pray that we would be comforted by your comfort, Lord, as we cast our cares upon you. I pray that you would bless our pastor and Mrs. Silence, Lord, as they are recovering from sickness, and those other ones of us, Lord, that are not feeling well. I pray that you would give strength. I pray that you would give comfort to the hurting to the hurting heart. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this week, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.